This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 14, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Angel Robinson. Discussion.
Hi, hello, yes. We are here in Canada doing what we are calling Your Microphone Sucks series. This is one of three recording this weekend, and our guest is Angel Robinson. Angel, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, and Matt's here.
And Matt is also here.
I forget to introduce Matt. He also lives here. You know, there's the couch, there's the bed, bathroom, there's Matt, there's, you know, he comes with the house.
Right,
I forget
to
sometimes.
Too.
Yeah, the planter?
The planter.
Like Mr. Peanut?
No, the thing, like the big, if you put like your plants in sort of a big thing, it's called a planter.
A pot?
No, if it's longer than a pot.
A long pot.
A long pot is called a planter.
Is it? Is that a Canadian thing?
It might be.
Angel, help me out here. Is this something you've heard of before, or is this...
I have heard of planter. I believe he is.
See? Science, right there.
Damn it. Science is someone, like, agreeing with you?
That's right.
That's what science is.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Angel, we have brought you on, I will be completely upfront about this, as a token, because we know so few funny and interesting women. You are one of my go-to, like, we gotta have women on this show. Well, Angel. But beyond that, you do have a few specific things I have heard you talk about that really do interest me, and I think would interest our listeners. We were talking before we started about, there's a website, God, what was that site anyway? Do you remember the cartoon, make your own cartoon?
Extra Normal.
That's it, Extra Normal. It's this really cool thing where you can, and Matt, I don't know
I've
if you've seen this or not. I actually learned about it through the Riff Tracks guys.
Hey.
It's basically... type in some text and we will make these animated characters speak your words and do whatever blocking you specify and make a little animated movie.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. I actually reenacted reenacted the Orson Welles thing.
Of course.
You know, and there's only...
surprise of no one.
And there's only like three voices in there and it's got like the standard British voice.
Yeah.
It's like, every July, peas grow that. You really mean that. And it sounds okay. But Angel did really good, something that really caught my attention and reminded me of a thing that she's talked about before, and it really kind of encapsulated this argument. A little monologue about, I really never know how to describe this exactly. The girl in the comic store is the best I can come up with, and that's a lame way to describe it. Just that unique sort of outsidery feeling that you get as a female in a largely male population. But I'm flailing here. Can you take a, like... tell the people what I'm trying to say. You've said it so much more articulately than I possibly can.
Well, I was just talking about, you know, comics, you know, it's mostly a male thing. But it's written by guys, it's drawn mostly by guys, it's for a guy audience. Mm. And having an older brother who got me into comics, it's still a guy thing. But I would go with him to these comic shops, and I would get these looks like, oh my God, is that a real girl? Why is she here? Is she with somebody? Maybe she came in the wrong store. Maybe she's looking for directions or something.
Screaming and pointing, Donald Sutherland style.
Yeah. So I wanted to speak to that from my point of view and, you know, give the guys some ideals of, you know, what it's like to be a girl in this little niche community. And so I did this little Extra Normal thing and just mostly talking about, you know, I'm into comics. I'm a girl that's into comics. I like superhero comics. I don't think I've even read an Archie comic. I like superheroes. That's what...
Now, are girls, like, is that Archie, is that kind of associated with women? I always thought it was just more of a younger people thing and
no, just to go along the lines of that, you know, comics are looked at like they're a kid's thing, where girls are looked like that they only like romance.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
Type stuff. And that it doesn't honestly appeal to me whatsoever.
Sure. Whereas I should say, I actually, if I see, and this is not a joke, if I am in like the drugstore or something like that and I see an Archie Digest, I will buy it. I can't help it.
See what Jughead's up to this
week. I'm not kidding. I don't buy it monthly or anything like that, but if I see it, it's an impulse buy. It fascinates me. Anyway, please continue.
All those hamburgers.
That's certainly something we can come back to. I don't want to interrupt your argument
here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, when I fantasize about things, I have superpowers because, that's what appeals to me. I've always been an outsider in a lot of things that I like and that I do. The main thing, the first thing is I'm a heavyset woman. I've always been that way. So that automatically puts me outside of almost anything else that I do. And that's what you associate with me. So when I was talking about it, I'm like, look, I fantasize about powers or those kind of conflicts. I love the X-Men. One of the first things I ever read was the X-Men. It's a group of outsiders. And that's what I think about and I fantasize about, and those are my ideals.
I will say, you're making some excellent points here, and I certainly don't want to cut you off, but the fact that you are only the second female guest we've ever had, and you keep using the word fantasize, you're making me uncomfortable here.
Yeah.
Especially when it's just me and Matt in a hotel room alone. Stop saying fantasize, sexy lady, please.
Okay.
Erotic.
Anyway, please continue.
Yeah, so I was like, this is what appeals to me. And so I thought, you know what? I started going to comic book conventions and I started getting original artwork, and I would notice that the artist would always say, I'd bring my stepdad with me. He goes, oh, isn't that nice that you bring your daughter here?
Ugh.
And I'm like,
hey.
Yeah, he drove, but I'm the one handing you the money.
Right.
I'm the one asking you for the characters that I know the names of, I know what they look like, and I can describe them to you. I'm the fan.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing is this hobby, this comics and geekdom in general, I don't want to just say comics, but overall, these nerdy pursuits that we all do enjoy, science fiction, comics, video games, all of this stuff, we already are, to an extent, outsiders.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's become more acceptable in recent years. It's become more trendy or whatever. But overall, the initial appeal, the appeal of, like you say, the X-Men, is to that nerd, is to that kid in the back of the class who's actually smart and kind of ashamed to be smart, or the kid with the strange colored hair that everyone makes fun of, or the kid with whatever the hell was wrong with Matt. You know,
was the kid in the helmet.
That really wasn't a dig at you. I'm just saying, like, whatever we all specifically went through as kids, like, we all kind of felt like, I think most nerd types have that. And to have that community, to come together, especially now we have the internet to gather us around. And then to still treat a certain segment of us like, further outcast, it makes no sense. You would think we would be totally inclusionary, but Angel, you're certainly not the only person I've heard say this. To treat like, oh well, yeah, we're all about like except girls, no girls allowed.
No girls allowed.
Yeah.
What? Really? And you guys,
this is our male adolescent power fantasy.
Yeah.
Clubhouse.
In the same breath, you'll rag on each other for not getting laid, but then what? You don't like, or on the message board we all posted on. And again, Angel is another one from that club that we all met through that message board, the unnamed message board.
This is where we come from.
It's true. You would see threads, different topics about how do I talk to girls, how do I meet girls, what am I doing wrong. Well, maybe instead of treating them like they're this weird subspecies and this weird, whole, how do I talk to a girl? You talk to a girl the same way you talk to a guy. Yeah, they're people.
Yeah. Not hard. Look, we're doing it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
The same way you've been talking to me in this thread, that if you didn't know, if I didn't change my avatar, that I'm a chick.
Yeah, exactly.
You just talked to me.
Right.
You called yourself, like, Bill and had a picture of, like, I don't know.
A guy named Bill?
Yeah, a guy named Bill. It's exactly the same.
And he would have to have a name tag that says, hi, my name is Bill,
yeah, exactly.
So you
well, that
made
would be
clear.
That would be the avatar. It would be a guy with wearing a name tag that says, "Hi, my name is Bill."
And a big mustache for some reason. I don't know why.
No, I can see that.
That completes the look for me. But no, like in the comic store, like, no, you don't want guys, you know, leering guys walking over to you and say, "Hey, what are you reading?"
Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of that.
I'll come back to that in a sec. But on the other hand, you also don't want everyone like moving away, like, "Ooh, what's she, you know, she must be lost," or like, mm-hmm. you know, what's she buying for her boyfriend, or like, and actually my ex-wife had experiences like that, where she says, you know, she felt like all the eyes were on her, mm-hmm. like it was sort of the opposite effect, but it was still the same sort of outcast, where rather than treating her as another customer, it was like, "Hey, there's a chick." Like, come mm-hmm. on. I mean, you're going to, if someone's there and they're attractive, you're going to look at them. Mm. But you got to, like, you really want to feed that stereotype that we're all, like, total social losers. And, like, if we see a woman, we just can't. Again, you want to know how to talk to a woman, talk to them like a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
For Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
There's no secret.
Now, have you found, because, I mean, of all the things we've said about this message board, and we've mentioned this before, actually, we talked to Adrian to some extent about this. He had some pretty good stuff to say. That whole community was actually fairly open for quite some time. I feel like it's kind of gotten away from that, but for quite a while, I'd say it was a pretty open community. We talked about a lot of stuff. We did a lot of, you know, interesting debating and stuff like that. Do you feel, even after sort of accumulating all these friends and meeting all these people at cons and things, do you still feel that way? Or do you feel like it's improved at all? Or
In the shops and that, in cons?
Well, just in general, in the comics community, when you go to a convention, now mm-hmm. now chances are, if you go to a convention, there's going to be some friends there, right? Like, or at least acquaintances, people you've met online, people you know, you're familiar with, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel, I don't know, empowered? That's kind of a lame word for
more
this.
Accepted?
But yeah, more just, like, these are my people. I don't feel like I'm the only, you know, like, you understand what I mean?
I don't feel as much as an outsider, definitely.
That's good.
But you had to go out of your way to sort of build this support system. You think it's still sort of inherently exclusionary?
I think in part, sometimes it's still a boys' club, very much.
Yeah, and I'm not super huge. Like, I'm not reading comics at the moment, mostly for financial reasons. But, mm-hmm. but I, you know, the only examples that jumped to my mind were like one artist and one writer was all I could think of. And you guys probably know two or three others, but there really aren't a lot of female. Like, I'm thinking of Pia, drawing, and Gail writing.
Yep,
and
Thompson.
And that's all I could think of. But there's probably But yeah, I mean, the editorial and the whole, like, the upper staff is all men, mm-hmm. and would you say, do you feel like the tone is sort of, maybe not misogynistic, but just skewing more male? You kind of made a reference to that before.
I think in an industry where your major consumer is a male, you're gonna skew that way. It's just bound to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I don't think that just throwing in a bunch of female creators will make it any better, because it's still story driven.
Sure.
You don't want the token female because she's a female. You want her because she's a good writer, and, oh, by the way, she's a female.
Yeah,
absolutely. And actually, that's kind of how I was told for years that Gail Simone's Birds of Prey was this great book.
Yeah.
And I picked it up, and all I saw was this cheesecake art, which apparently, mm-hmm. like, if you look past that, there was actually some good character stuff.
Well, that's how you sell that.
I know, but I could not look past that, where, like, every panel was from the POV of their crotch.
Oh, no, I know. I read.
You're looking straight up their camel toe.
And the entire run, and, like, I completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word balloon coming out of the vagina.
That's how you get people in. You hook them with the TNA, and then you get them to stay for the story.
But this is the thing we talked about a bit with Pat, where, like, do you really just want to hone in on that audience that you already have, or do you want to expand your
sales?
Yeah, I know. And again, I'm not criticizing, you know, this is an industry that's been self-sustaining for many years. They certainly don't need my input.
Yeah.
But it seems to me, well, for instance, let's just say, for the sake of argument, there are no women reading. Obviously, there are some. But let's just say, for the sake of example, 100% male, 0% women. That means you got 50% of the population that you can win over,
mm-hmm.
if you just try to appeal, you know. And if you look at, I don't know, the good example to me on TV is, like, Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
That show was very, strong female perspective. There were a lot of sort of feminist issues there, but it didn't feel like it was preaching. It just felt like this is a woman in a position of power. Here's why. And her backstory ended up sort of incorporating a lot of that. And to me, that's the way you do it. It does, and like Angel said, it doesn't have to be written by a woman to pull that off. Joss Whedon just had a good sense of, you know.
There's no secret to it. Just write something worth reading, and you
sure.
Should, yeah,
that's but right, Amanda brings this up a lot. Where she and I used to give her a hard time, but I do understand this. There are a lot of things that I enjoy. She doesn't because there's no strong women characters in it. She just can't. For instance, and this isn't me making quotes. This is me referencing Star Wars. The first three movies, the 4, 5, and 6, she enjoys those because Princess Leia is a strong female character. She feels like in the prequels there are no strong female characters, that Natalie Portman was kind of supposed to be and just kind of fell flat and wasn't very...
She spent all of episode 3 sitting
whining
in the apartment
and dying.
Whining and dying.
And so that's one of the reasons she's really not into those is because she feels like there's no strong... And again, I used to make fun of her a lot. Like, really, you got to have a girl to, you know... But it makes sense.
The thing is, we don't understand that because we're white males.
It's true. Everything's tailored
we're
to
in
us.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess I can see.
Must not make obvious quote.
It's push past it, man. It'll be okay. No, but really, I guess. And do you feel that way? Angel? Do you feel like you need to latch on to a character to relate to? I mean, that's hardly an alien concept, but. You feel reading a book with only male characters and only male perspectives just doesn't appeal to you, or?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it's a male or female. I feel like I need to connect with them.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you an example. I finally read Watchmen a few years ago because everyone said, you know, that's a standard of comics. You need to read this. And you know what? I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the characters. I couldn't relate to them. They kind of just irritated the shit out of me.
Fair enough.
But I just started reading Green Lantern, and almost all of the characters are male. But I can relate to them. They're good characters, and that's what I look for.
It's true. I never thought about that.
Well, and that's fair. And in Watchmen's defense, I would not say that they're bad characters. It's interesting that I've heard this. You are not the only person. A certain long-haired Irishman of our mutual acquaintance is very passionate about his loathing of that book.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about, of course.
Yes, I do.
It seems to me most people, and I'm not. This is not a dig at your tastes or anything like that. It just seems to me most people that came to that book recently that have heard all the hype for 20 years and finally sat down to read it don't like it. I don't think I've met anyone who's read that book in the last 5 years and loves it. It must have been kind of a time and place thing, and it's one of those things I feel like so many people have knocked it off and imitated it and ripped it off and redone the same ideas. So you feel like, I've read this before, I don't like this. And maybe that's not how you felt, but it's kind of like my ex-wife wouldn't watch Alien because she's like, I've seen this movie. It's a sci-fi horror movie. I've seen this. And she had seen all the shitty knockoffs.
But it's the best one.
And I convinced her, and she watched it, and she loved it. But she made a good point that sitting through a lifetime of parodies, knockoffs, bad imitations, and then finally watching the original, it's like, eh. It's actually kind of the same with Citizen Kane. There are people who catch that movie early on, and they say, I get why this movie's important. I appreciate this movie. I love it. People who hear the hype all their life, this is the greatest movie, this is the greatest movie, they finally sit down and watch it, and they're like, really? That's it?
And then there are just people who just don't get it.
Well, there's that. But I'm not, I believe, you know, I know Angel. I've talked to her a lot. She got Watchmen.
Yeah.
She just didn't like it. But that might be because you weren't reading it in 1986. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it might just be because it was kind of a time and place thing. It was kind of so different from comics then, and... You know, it's kind of a unique perspective that's been lost, I think. I do find it interesting that Amanda actually also didn't like Watchmen, but she enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the movie, too.
Really? And what she said was she felt like a lot of the what she called the bullshit, a lot of the the superfluous, you know, the stuff in between the chapters
all the
and all
the bits.
Yeah, which I enjoyed. I thought it fleshed it out and gave it a unique, you know, feel that I hadn't seen in a comic before. But boiling it down to just the story... And saying, for 3 hours, here's what's happening to these people. Forget about where they came from. Forget about all the superfluous stuff.
Yeah.
Just Mm-hmm. And maybe that's it. Maybe it was, there was a good story at the core of that, and, you know. Whereas people who are huge fans of the comic hate in the movie.
Yeah.
So.
That's an argument.
I liked the comic and the movie.
I did too, actually. Yeah. But, you know, other people. Not you people, but other people.
Not good people.
No, and it's certainly not my intent to get into a whole debate about, you know, it's good. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was.
It's opinion, you know? Yeah. Like, when you get right down to it, not everyone has to like everything.
And that's one of the, like, you know, Matt and I, we might not have written this down anywhere, but there are really a few core principles that we want to do with this thing, with this podcast. And one of them is not ever to engage in that stupid internet posturing of, you know, you come on and disagree with us however you want. We're not going to, you know, call you a jerk, unless you're Flonk.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
That's his role on this show.
There's so many other reasons for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. But yeah, I mean, like I say, I can understand you picking up a book like Watchmen, and maybe you just didn't like it for other reasons. I don't know. But that seems to be the pattern. Anyone who's read it.
More than allowed, though.
But it's interesting. Green Lantern seems to come up, and again, I'm not reading a lot of comics these days. Green Lantern seems to come up as the consistent example of what people are doing right in comics these days. Nobody that I've talked to has bad stuff to say about what's going on in Green Lantern.
It's awesome.
It seems like, and I enjoyed it way back, like back in the dark 80s, you know.
Maybe if you'd stuck around after that shark on legs that showed up.
No, I actually left when Kyle showed up.
Oh, yeah.
When they were doing that 90s thing where they replaced all the characters I liked with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was
you know, they decided that Spider-Man wasn't really Spider-Man anymore. They decided that Batman should be in bed for a long time.
Yeah.
And Superman was
a new Batman who kills people.
Ugh.
And has a ridiculous costume.
But I mean, and for all whatever's going on in comics now, everyone and everyone that I've talked to says, man, Green Lantern's where it's at. That's super cool. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. It's cool to hear that this concept is getting, you know.
Well, that's just like Immortal Iron Fist.
Oh, yes.
I remember when it was Power Man and Iron Fist and reading that. And now it's just, he's made the character better than what I remember him as.
Now you say he made the character. That was Matt Fraction, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Fraction and Brubaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
They made, I should say, they made
sure,
it
that's
better.
Fine. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I want to be specific that there are guys out there kind of taking old characters and really making them into something you want to read. And,
yeah. Well, it reminds me of, you know, growing up watching, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, and then noon, here's Kung Fu Theater.
See, I remember that too, and what I would do when that came on is go out and play.
Yeah.
I
love that.
Yeah, and this is a thing that you and I have I don't say we would argue about it at all. We've just had long discussions about it. You love the East. You love the Orient. The mysterious Orient.
The Chinaman is not the issue here, dude.
I thought, how do I say this? Like, incorporate China and Japan without being racist. I'm like, fuck it. There's no way. I'm just going to say, you know, the Orient.
Yeah, we'll put in a gong sound effect here.
Yeah, exactly. No, but really, you are a passionate fan of things Asian.
Asia.
Which I really hate to stereotype. I really hate to, and this doesn't apply to you specifically. This is it's going to get me, it's going to take me a minute to get here, but this is a compliment to you. Just bear with me for a second.
Okay.
Most anime type fans, most people who are into Japanese culture tend to be these people who believe that Japan is so much better than we are. They believe that everything makes perfect sense, and like, I don't know, it's hard to, like, people who think Pocky is good food, and like, there's this picture of a, and there's a specific guy, and I can't say his name because that would be wrong, from the message board. If you don't know who I'm talking about, guys, I'll tell you offline, but who just worship, like, if it comes from Japan, it's great. And I just, out of spite, I want to say, because it's from Japan, it sucks.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, you can't just, like, that's not a reason something's good because it's from this place. There has to be more to it than that. And most people who are into that stuff, that's, they kind of tend to be that type.
See, it was an attitude like that actually drove me away from, like, manga. And,
exactly.
Back in, like, the 90s. Late 90s, and that got me into American comics.
Right, but this is all by sort of a long way of saying, Angel is a person that I met who was very sensible about it, and she also liked things that weren't Japanese. She wasn't just like, God, I wish I was Japanese. if only I'd been born, you know, in Tokyo instead of in the Midwest, you know, like.
Off the X, you should think.
Yeah, but and I'm like, okay, you know what? You don't seem like a crazy person. You seem like a sensible person. Tell me, what is so great about this? And she did better than that. Mm-hmm. She put a box together, this kick-ass box of like a dozen DVDs, mm-hmm. a bunch of CDs, a couple of comics. She said, here, this is what's so great. And I had this box for quite some time. I felt like kind of a dick, so I copied them and sent them back. Mm-hmm. I've watched a few of these anime movies in my own time, and I'll get to the rest of them one day. They're in the pile.
Someday.
But all the ones that I've watched so far have been fan-fucking-tastic. She convinced me. She's like, look, don't be, like, you... She didn't call me a racist jerk, but she basically said, look, don't just recoil because I say it's Japanese. Check it out. It's good. And you were right. And I got to give you credit for cracking through that, you know, that knee-jerk hatred that I had for, you know, guys with big eyes and, you know, like, well, because, you know, my idea of anime was Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I don't know, Sailor Moon or like
sure.
just that ridiculous, you know, everybody screaming all the time. And, yeah, I just didn't get it. And I give you a lot of credit for turning me around on that. And I appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad I could be that person because I'm, you know, I'm not the drink the Kool-Aid. Hey, this or.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? You know that there are people like that.
I've gone to anime conventions. I've met those people.
Now, am I wrong in assuming that the majority of anime fans are in that camp? Because by all means, if I'm wrong, you know, I'll be the first to admit that I am. I
think there's a lot of people who are in that camp, but, you know, that's just along the lines of a Marvel zombie or a DC Nation person. That they're, you know, they're enthusiastic and they're loyal,
uh-huh.
but they can take things to an extreme.
That's true. Most love, like all geeks.
It's true. So. What I saw was, and really, I would watch like a cartoon, any given cartoon. And there would be this one guy inevitably that would say, oh, they did this in Japan and it was better.
Mm-hmm.
And just, they would use Japan as a way to bash everything that I liked.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. well, you like Transformers, but Japanese Transformers is better.
Japanese Transformers was so much better, man.
Or Transformers sucks, Robotech's good, you know, or whatever. Like, just
yeah.
Shut up about Japan. It's not that great. That's why we dropped a couple of bombs on them. I don't mean that. Yeah, actually, yes, I do. Never forget Pearl Harbor. Never forget. Anyway. The event, not the movie. Please forget the movie. No, but really, I mean, and you know, I like, of course, it's well established that I was a big fan of the Transformers, which does come from Japan originally, but it was sort of Americanized, passed through the American filter.
Well, I mean, it's certainly very different.
It is. Because what they did is they took these divergent toy lines mm-hmm. and tied them together and gave an American backstory. Really, it's not that different. What happened was, after it went off here, they kept it going there. And that's when it got different. Believe it or not, it started...
I thought they had pilots in Japan.
No. Actually, the toys did. But the show started simultaneously here and there. But everyone, like, growing up, was like, well, you like that. That's sort of the stepping stone to Robotech, and then this, and then this. I don't know what to tell you, man. But, like I say, Angel's slowly turned me around on that. And I do appreciate that. So what can you say in defense of the cowardly yellow man who bombed our...
today's hate cast.
I think what Japan has going for it, manga-wise, with their version of comic books, is they're more accessible to women than the comics are here.
Oh, and that's nice. That ties back to what you were saying earlier. So you find that outcast vibe happens a lot less when you're dealing, like when you go to the manga section.
So
that's
how you do a motherfucking segment.
Oh, definitely. Uh-huh.
And then you point it out.
I think it's easier to get into. It's more, you know, with comics here, you have to know 50 years of backstory. A lot.
Right, and that's actually been my argument for years, is when I pick up an X-Men comic, it's like, I need to know who all these guys are and what their backstory is and what their... And that's hard for me. That's not a gender issue. That's just a, you know, like, I don't have time for this issue.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard to find a jumping on point. Mm-hmm. So a lot of manga, it's serialized to maybe 20, 26 volumes.
Uh-huh.
You pick one up, And you can go, and a lot of them are self-contained. You can just pick it up and read it, and you can decide, well, maybe I'll read the next volume, maybe I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
There's a lot of more subgenres.
It's more acceptable over there, isn't it? Like, isn't it just common for every average Japanese businessman or businesswoman or whoever just to be on the train reading a comic
book?
It's like
a novel. Like, just everyone reads
them. Whereas over here, even if you're reading, like, Harry Potter on the bus, you have to buy the grown-up version that has the cover hides, books.
Yeah.
But it seems more acceptable. So because it's more acceptable, then they can explore that and appeal to broader audiences and make more like subgenres and give you, you know.
I mean, they got manga for everything. I have a guy who orders books at work who gets just a manga based entirely around playing Go. The Japanese, like, it's almost like checkers, I think.
Huh.
And that's it.
And it's a comic book about that.
Yep.
Really?
And going on for
an anime that's based on that comic too.
Yeah.
It's entertaining?
I have no idea. It's about Go.
Angel's familiar with it. Have you seen it? Do you know it?
I've seen an episode of it. It was all right. It's not for me. It's not something.
Right. But it's not like this is poorly put together crap. It's just not for you.
But I mean, like, that's my point. There's there's like literally something for everyone.
There's, right. Yeah,
except me.
Yeah, except for you. But you know.
Yeah, but for everyone else.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I will say not manga wise, but as far as anime goes, Cowboy Bebop did break
awesome.
Out of the pack and really did get my attention even before Angel stepped in. I caught that on Adult Swim one night and was like, this is really
good. Actually, it's just beautiful.
It really is. But as far as manga, I've yet to pick up any Japanese type comic and get what's going on at all. I haven't. And do you think I just haven't found the right one yet, or
probably
because, like Matt was saying, there's a manga for anything.
Yeah, it's a matter of cutting through the hundreds of thousands of different series.
Well, and then you're getting into that whole kind of like the internet, where there's a website for everyone.
Yeah,
but you can't just go to Google and type "where's my website." You got to know what you're looking for. But really, I will even take this a little further. Scott Pilgrim, which is a comic many people are into. Angel, I don't know if you're a fan, but I know Matt is.
Yes.
I know a lot of people are. I want to be very clear. It is not a poorly made comic at all. I do not get it at all, even a little bit. I read it, and I'm like, what is going on here? And it was vaguely manga, but it was like making references to things that I felt like I should know. And I just,
really?
I didn't understand the motives. I didn't understand the characters. It just made no sense to me.
I mean, that thing is all about video game physics, which we'll
I know.
In a future podcast.
That we've already recorded. Honestly, that book is the first time we joke about this a lot. This is really the first time I picked up a piece of pop culture in any medium at all and said, I feel old. It really felt like the generational cutoff. Like, this is made for people younger than me who get things that I don't get. And it made me feel old, and it was kind of sad. And I know, the thing is, so many people whose opinions I trust and who I know are intelligent and discerning love this book.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't get it. And I'll freely admit, like, there are books that I get and aren't for me. There are books I just don't get it, and that's one of them. It somehow went over my head.
Well, I think the second volume for me to realize what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I've read some strange things, and I'm like, what exactly is going on here? And I had to reread it, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what this is. But it wasn't something that even with the amount of things I've read, I'm like, it wasn't automatically, hey.
So having that background in manga, in that culture, it didn't necessarily help. It wasn't, I wasn't missing because of that. It was something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. Now, the one thing that you mentioned sort of offline here occasionally in your love of anime and such is you've come across some of the weirder, tentacle-based.
That's Matt's time to shut.
But no, we've set up on this show many times. We've discussed endlessly my love of incest, Matt's history with furries, and this feels like the topic, the natural topic. And Angel, you know more about this than anyone else I know. It doesn't mean you're an expert, but you know more than we know. Please enlighten us on
the magical world.
Yes.
The magical world of hentai.
Yes, please do. Now, just to be clear, as an outsider, as a, you know, I only know it as an internet joke. As far as I know, chicks are being raped by tentacles. Is this correct, or is there more to it? Is there art to it? Tell me.
There is a subgenre of hentai.
Now, first of all, before you go into the subgenre, what is hentai on its own? Like, what is specifically hentai, the definition of it?
Well, hentai, when it's translated, mm-hmm. it means sexual perversion.
Okay, so comics for grown-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not even going to judge. Like, if they just happen to make porn comics, mm-hmm. if that's their name for porn comics, that's fine.
Yes, it's the sexually explicit part of porn.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of people who are into manga and anime and that they embrace it. They embrace the name hentai, and for them, it just means over here. Uh-huh. It's embraced more over in Japan. It still has the negative connotation.
So it's like in the back room of the bookstore, and you have to get it in a brown paper bag, and like
yeah, okay. very much. Just like for example, otaku, over here in the West, people embrace it. They're
what is that? Just pretend. Use your try really hard to use your imagination and pretend I speak no Japanese at all. What is that?
Otaku is like a freak. You're obsessed about it.
So like a fanboy, like a Japanese fanboy, the person I was describing earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
But over here, the fandom over here embraces it, and they're like, "Yes, I'm obsessive. I love it. This is great." But in Japan, it also has the negative. It still has the negative connotation there.
So much in the same way we have started to wear the words nerd and geek as badges of honor, it's still a bit shameful over there.
Well, yeah, it's treated like much. The actual definition of the like.
Right, nerd used to mean like you wouldn't say yes, I am a nerd.
That guy on a show.
Right. What? Are you trying to make a reference?
No, I'm completely avoiding referencing that show. All right. That guy that I'm talking about is on.
Oh, who works in the store that sells comics?
Works in the thing, yes.
Gotcha. All right. Anyway, sorry, Angel. Please continue.
You know, so it's the obsessive. It's kind of like a fanboy.
Okay.
You know, it still has somewhat of a negative connotation here. So hentai is, you obsess about the perverted sexual...
Gotcha.
And so with tentacle porn, in that it's originated from a subgenre of hentai called eroguro nonsensu, which translates as erotic grotesque nonsense. And
now really my life translates to erotic grotesque nonsense when it comes down to it. But
Dave Barry thinks that would be a great name for a metal band.
All right.
And so with the tentacle rape, there is a woodblock print. It's called The Dream of the Fisherman's Wife, mm-hmm. and it's from about 1820.
Okay.
And it's when you see it, it's a woman basically being raped by an octopus.
Okay.
And so,
and back in those days, woodcuts were not like, you didn't have a million woodcuts down at the woodcut shop. This probably would have been a big deal, like.
Just going down to the antique store mm-hmm. to pick up a saucy woodcut.
Right.
Yeah. So the Arrow Girl goes along those lines, and it's more of, you'll see it with like women who are having sex, but they're disemboweled.
Wow.
Yeah.
And people get off to this. Like, it's not just like this is an interesting image. Because, I can look at something that's kind of grotesque and kind of strange, and I can appreciate it as, art, but this is an imaginative image, but it doesn't mean I get sexual pleasure from it.
Yeah.
This is something that people actually get off to.
There's that rule, man, the internet rule.
That's true. But I think the Japanese have been doing this, since the woodcut days, since the 1800s, so, it's not just the internet thing.
Yeah. It's a fetish.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's just fascinating to me. And just somehow that they've... I guess to me, and it goes with the furry thing. To me, a fetish is something, and again, I'm an ignorant Westerner, I guess. A fetish has to do with some urge that you have already that's just sort of distorted. It's just sort of out of, like a foot fetish. Like, okay, you can think women are attractive, you can think women's feet are attractive, but to be really into them, that's what makes it a fetish. But to take it to the level where you're starting to think of imaginary things as erotic, mm-hmm. that's where it gets strange to me. Like, you're fantasizing about something that doesn't exist. And I guess that's what the word fantasy means, so it shouldn't be that strange. But to me, like, I fantasize about... I mean, I'm not going to say what I fantasize about.
Hey, Matt, I fantasize about this, all right?
But about things that could happen in the real world, more or less. Like, about women. About, you know, not disemboweling and, you know, tentacle creatures. It just... To me, it takes a weird leap of logic to imagine things that don't exist. Mm-hmm. Like, in a sexual way. Your libido... is not the same as you're imagining. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm not wired that way.
There are like hundreds of thousands of people out there.
Oh yeah, and I want to be clear that I'm not judging them.
I can find you stuff in less than a minute.
Please don't. But and again, I'm not like if people are into that, fine. It's just I can't comprehend it. Is all I'm saying. And it's the furry thing too. Like when you had to explain to me the first time that it's not about animals. It's not a bestiality thing. It's about cartoon animals. Mm-hmm. Like that. Just what? But how can you? How can you have sex with a cartoon? You can't.
There's not a whole lot of logic to it.
I guess it's keeping my expectations low. I want to fantasize about something I might actually do someday. Whereas if you fantasize about something that's impossible, then you're just going to always be disappointed.
You're chasing that fuck dragon.
Oh, I bet there's fuck dragon.
No, I guarantee.
But okay, so, but you have, you know, and I won't put you on the spot, and I won't call you out and say, you know, you do appreciate this on that level, that you get off on it or don't get off on it. That's not what I'm getting at. But you have looked at it. You have examined.
I stumbled upon it.
Okay. If that's what you want to hide behind, that's perfectly fine. We're not judging. I want to make that clear. No, really. But you are familiar with some of the stranger aspects of the medium. So what have you seen? Can you tell us? Can you give us some good, juicy examples? Anything that jumps out? Anything that paints a good mental picture?
Let's see. Well,
you have something to really earn that adult tag on iTunes.
Yeah, no kidding. Explicit.
The actual first era girl I ever discovered, it was a link from a mangaka, which is person who creates manga.
Okay.
And I was familiar with some other work that wasn't associated with that. Mm-hmm. I'm clicking through, and it's a woman with her head cut off. Mm-hmm. She's on her back. She's having sex with a guy, and there's another guy in the room next to her having sex with her head that's severed off.
So basically, you're looking at a three-way here, only with decapitation.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
And there's blood all over the walls. Mm-hmm. And there's another woman in the corner who's disemboweled, and her guts are everywhere.
So they just took the finger cuffs and like cut them with scissors. Mm-hmm. That's to make the Kevin Smith reference. Mm-hmm. That is just, and people get off to that. You like people like look at that and pleasure themselves and find that.
And some people do, and some people just
appreciate it as a drawing
dark humor. Yeah. You see it as dark humor and find it funny.
Well, and see that's the level I could maybe not that specific image, but this kind of thing,
or even just fascinating. You know, just that someone out there thought of that and then drew it, and oftentimes drew a very good picture of it.
And shared it because they thought other people would want to see it,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Anything else that kind of jumps out, or is that... I mean, usually, you know, your first horrifying... It's like the first time I saw a tub girl, like, you can show me all the horrifying things on the internet, but that's the one that's going to stick in my head forever now.
There's a scene from Preacher that springs to mind.
Yeah, see, there's always one horrifying, like, the first time you get there is like, that'll be, you know... Your first abomination is always...
Sort of turn the page. Yeah. What the fuck?
That one was pretty much a what the fuck.
You know which one I'm talking about then.
But is there any other kind of particularly perverted example? Or? Don't mean to put you on the spot. If you don't have any, that's fine. I'm just curious
if
there's anything we must know about it. If there's anything we have
I follow, there's a guy on Twitter I follow who does one of the webcomics I, one of the webcomics I read, he has, all of his characters have a Twitter account.
That's kind
of
cool.
One of the ones that, one of the characters, all they do is post fucked up hentai pictures. And I follow it because it's fucking fascinating.
Sure.
So,
and with someone with the right level of irony to it.
Once or twice a week. And he gets them from an actual, like some actual page. And if you go and check them a couple of days after he's posted them, they're gone because they've gotten all these hits.
Oh, sure.
And just bizarre fucking stuff.
Well, now we're going to have to definitely put a link to that.
Okay.
So,
I'm not sure of it off the top of my head, but I'll find it for you.
What's the name of the...
The webcomic's Questionable Content.
I'm just writing down to add to the show notes later. All right. But yeah, and actually, you mentioned that there is that phrase that, what was it, perverted?
Arrow girl, nonsensu.
Uh-huh.
Erotic grotesque nonsense.
And this is every culture, not just Japan. The French are actually good at this too. The French champagne.
Yeah.
You were going to do it. I had to beat you to it. I love when other cultures have a unique perspective and they have words for things we don't have. Mm-hmm. I made a reference to this a few weeks ago on the podcast, the spirit of the staircase, esprit d'escalier, I think they say, the French, which is basically the concept of thinking of the perfect insult after you've already gone down the stairs, after you're gone, or je ne sais quoi is another one. And it's great that the Japanese have that too, that they have recognized that there is a unique linguistic need to say, here's some fucked up shit, and they have a word for it that we don't have. That's awesome. We're going to have to start wrapping things up here. Angel, I do appreciate you being on. Finally, sorry about the problems before, but...
No problem.
Great to have you on. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything specific you wanted to promote? Anything, any website you want to send people to, or your Twitter, or anything? By all means.
Any hentai you want to send people?
I have a blog where I do... some comic reviews. I post some of my extra normal things. It's Comic Fangirl.
Okay.
.blogspot.com.
And we'll have a direct link to that in the show notes as well, in case you are too lazy to type.
And also on Twitter, it's Angel_Robinson.
And again, as we will mention with both Jabson and Flonk, we are sort of a clique, a circle of people who all talk amongst ourselves all the time. And the more of us you follow, the better, because we do make a lot of jokes to each other. Mm-hmm. So if you're following us, you should also be following her, and you're going to catch... Angel's one of those kind of Silent Bob types, where she doesn't say anything for a while, and then she'll speak up, and it's really witty and wise and funny, and whoa, where did that come from? And because I'll be on Twitter and I won't hear from her for days. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly her avatar will pop up and with something. I'm like, that's fucking hilarious.
Also, I work night shifts and I'm up at night. So that's probably the reason you guys don't see me a lot either.
That could be, but I prefer to think that you're always watching and waiting for the perfect...
Just planning.
Exactly.
The time's now.
Exactly. Angel, once again, thank you. Love to have you back on. Definitely need a little more estrogen on this show.
Yes.
And Matt, as always, thank you.
Not a problem.
And we're going to stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is algar.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009. This podcast officially conforms to federal affirmative action standards. That's two women in 14 weeks.